Now, the first reading is from the Old Testament, the second book of Samuel, from chapter 7. Now, when the king had settled in his house, and the Lord had given him rest from all his enemies around him, the king said to the prophet Nathan, "See now, I am living in a house of cedar, but the ark of God stays in a tent." Nathan said to the king, "Go, do all that you have in mind, for the Lord is with you." But that same night the word of the Lord came to Nathan, "Go and tell my servant David, thus says the Lord, are you the one to build me a house to live in? I have not lived in a house since the day I brought up the people of Israel from Egypt this day. But I have been moving about in a tent and a tabernacle. Wherever I have moved about among all the people of Israel, did I ever speak a word with any of the tribal leaders of Israel, whom I commanded to shepherd my people Israel, saying, why have you not built me a house of cedar? Now therefore, thus you shall say to my servant David, thus said the Lord of hosts, I took you from the pasture, from following the sheep to be prince over my people Israel. And I have been with you wherever you went, and have cut off all your enemies from before you. And I will make for you a great name, like the name of the great ones of the earth. And I will appoint a place for my people Israel, and I will plant them, so that they may live in their own place, and be disturbed no more. And evildoers shall afflict them no more as formerly, from the time that I appointed judges over my people Israel. And I'll give you rest from all your enemies. Moreover, the Lord declares to you that the Lord will make you a house. Your house and your kingdom shall be made sure forever before me. Your throne shall be established forever." Hear the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
I'll read Luke 1:26-38. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. Virgin's name was Mary, and he came to her and said, "Greetings, favoured one, the Lord is with you." But she was much perplexed by his words and wondered what sort of greeting this might be. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favour with God, and now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I'm a virgin?" The angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be holy and will be called the Son of God. And now your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son, and this will be the sixth month for her who was said to be barren, and nothing will be impossible with God." Then Mary said, "Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." And the angel departed from her.
For the Gospel of the Lord. So, David is a long time before Jesus. Long time. King David. We've all heard of King David. King David was an amazing person. He started as a shepherd boy out in the fields looking after the sheep. And when he was a young boy, too young to be considered to be useful for anything much, which means that he has to have been probably 12, he was out with the sheep. He'd been brought in and anointed to be king over Israel, but nobody knew what that meant. And there was this giant. You remember the giant? Who's the giant? What's the giant's name? Goliath, yeah. And David, at about 12, comes to bring lunch to his brothers. And when he brings the lunch to his brothers, he hears the giant up there saying horrible things about God and about Israel. And he gets all upset and says, I will fight the giant. And he does. But he doesn't fight the giant like you and I might fight the giant. He uses his slingshot because he's been out in the field defending the sheep. And he knows how to kill bears and lions and all those sorts of things with his slingshot. And so, and kills a giant at 12. Anybody who is over 12, you're old enough to kill giants. And anybody who's under 12, look what you can look forward to. David was a great king. That set him up, and he became commander of Saul's armies. And he was an amazing, amazing warrior, an amazing king. And he is a man who was the predecessor, Jesus, this baby who was born at Christmas. He is born from David's line. He's a descendant of King David. So King David's like his great, 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 I need about 12 grandfather. And he is his descendant. And Samuel the prophet talks to David about the house. David wants to build a house for God. He wants to build a church, basically the temple, to worship God in. And the prophet says to him, Nathan the prophet, I think it is there actually, says, no, actually, you're not going to build that house. Your son is going to build that house. What God is telling you is he is going to build his own house. He's going to build you a house, and he's going to make you a house, and he's going to make you the one whose throne lasts forever. Now, of course, David died, and so did all of his sons. And eventually, over the years, his descendants had all sorts of adventures. And then one day, along comes a child born from a girl named Mary, who is betrothed to a man named Joseph, who is of David's house. And Jesus is the one who becomes the king that the prophet had said all those years before. And we're talking about 800 years before, would be the one whose throne was established forever. A great king. Now, there's an expression for Jesus, one of the names that we give for Jesus. And that name is the Lion of the Tribe of Judah. Lions are strong and they can roar. And when they roar, everybody shakes. Have you ever heard a lion roar? I used to love it when I was at Rosebud for a little while as a locum, and we had the circus across the road. And on Sunday morning, I was preaching one morning, and I was talking about the Lion of the Tribe of Judah, and the lions at the circus started roaring, and I thought, well, thank you, Lord. It was pretty good. So this morning, while we're talking about who that Lion of the Tribe of Judah is and what happened with Mary, we've got a couple of things you can do, and they're down on the back table. We have baubles you can turn into. They're Christmas baubles, but you can decorate them, so they're really gorgeous. And I was going to bring enough for everybody, and I left the packet at home. So we also have lions to climb, to colour in and put together. Okay, so get down on the back table, and if you'd like to go and do those things, please head down, and Michelle will give you a hand with that. And we've got lots of pencils and lots of lions and lots of baubles. But I think there's enough for everybody, but I'm not sure about the baubles because I left some at home. I don't know. I spent a whole $3 on those at the reject shop and forgot them. But anyway, we have our moments, don't we? There's a few things about this moment. This moment is the moment of expectation right before a birth, right before the birth of the one who will be the king. And so we read this story of Mary and the angel Gabriel who came to let her know that she was going to be the one who gave birth to this king that they had looked forward to for 800 years. Been a very, very long time of waiting. And people had got to the point where they were sure that it was going to happen, and they were waiting and it was happening and the Messiah was coming. Messiah is the one who saves us. That's what that means. And he's going to be the one who's going to be king over our land. And they thought he was going to go into a throne, David's throne. He was going to set himself up in Jerusalem and he was going to set up Israel and kick the Romans out, just like David kicked out Goliath. But he didn't do that. He didn't do that at all. He came not as a conquering king from the sky, coming down and gathering his armies. He came as a baby, as a little baby, completely helpless. He came as one of us. He came as the son of Mary and of Joseph. Now, one of the things that we have to understand is, of course, Mary and Joseph were not married yet, but they were betrothed, which was like marriage in that you didn't go to anybody else, but you were not yet living in the same house. So Mary has never had any relationship with a man, and God brings this child into her womb. Now, some people have trouble with this. After all, virgin birth, meh, how do you do that stuff? Well, if you're the creator of the universe, you can do anything. If you're the creator of the universe and you created life in the first place, you can organize a baby in a womb, can't you? If you're the creator of the universe, you didn't need the X chromosome to put a boy there. We don't have to have all the bits when God is in control. Sometimes we think we have to have all the bits. Got to have all your ducks in a row. Got to have it all organized. Got to have it all set up. And if you don't have it all set up, it's not going to work. But you know what? If God is doing what God is doing, even if we're not ready for it and we're not set up, we haven't got it organized, we left our baubles at home, God can do it still. We tend to think that God isn't as big as our expectations, but the fact is he's far bigger. Mary had the sort of faith that allowed for the fact that God is bigger. Mary had the faith to be able to say, well, after she said, got no bloke, how am I going to have a baby? Thought I need a bloke. And the angel says, the Holy Spirit will come to you and he will overshadow you and bring into you this child who will be for Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us. Mary had the faith to be able to see that God can set up what she couldn't. Mary was able to say, okay, well, let's have it your way. And let God do what God was going to do. And the thing is, in that day and age, that was a dangerous thing. See, these days, if you get pregnant without being married to your partner and you have your baby, we have lots of services and we'll support you and people will look after you. And there might be a little bit of sideways looking from some judgmental people, but generally speaking, the world supports you these days. It's how it works. We have this wonderful thing called Centrelink. There wasn't any Centrelink in Bethlehem. There was no family services. There was no support. But more than that, according to Jewish law, Mary being pregnant and not being married to her partner, was liable to be taken out and killed. That was the risk she took. That's a big risk. She was putting her life in God's hands. She wasn't just saying, okay, I'll have the baby. She was putting her life on the line. She was trusting that God would look after her for those whole 9 months and make sure that nobody took offense at her and the Pharisees and the others didn't drag her out into the city square and have her stoned. Because that is what would have happened if they had cottoned on to the idea that Joseph wasn't the father. She was actually trusting God for far more than carrying a baby. She was trusting God to protect her for 9 months and keep her safe. And Joseph heard about this, and I love Joseph. I think Joseph doesn't get much of a mention a lot of the time because we sort of focus on Mary. But actually, Joseph is an amazing man. How many blokes, when their girlfriend gets pregnant and they know it wasn't them, are going to say to her when she says, oh, the angel Gabriel came and told me that this baby would be God's baby, are going to go, I got to look at her and say, okay, no worries. You're not going to do that, are you? You're going to say, who is he? Where is he? Right? There's very few blokes who are going to accept that the woman they're betrothed to is pregnant and it wasn't them. Joseph had every right to not believe Mary and be the person who dragged her out to the city square and had her stoned. And that is what they would do. But instead, Joseph at first goes, okay, I'll just send her up to the country quietly and she can go up the country and have the baby and we'll just forget this ever happened. And then she can get on with her life and I'll find somebody else. But God gave Joseph a dream, and in that dream he said, Joseph, this one is the one who is going to have the throne of David. This one is the one who is going to be Messiah, the Lord. This is the Lion of the tribe of Judah that Mary is carrying. And you need to look after her. Don't touch her. But be there for her. And Joseph, to his credit, stands with Mary. He stands with her. He protects her. He makes sure that she doesn't get dragged out and killed. He looks after her. He looks after the baby in her womb, which is not his. He is there for her. For an entire pregnancy, he walks with her, he watches over her, and then he takes her to Bethlehem. And there in Bethlehem, he has that baby. And where is Joseph? He's right there. And then 6 days later, they take Jesus to be circumcised. This is what they did. 6 days later, they would circumcise their boys. And Joseph does something which brings Jesus into his family. How do you adopt a child in a world where there are no paper, where there's no paperwork? The person adopting the child names the child. Now, in Matthew's gospel, it tells us that when this child was born, Joseph named Jesus. Joseph formally adopted this baby at the very beginning and said, I will be your father. So Jesus is adopted. Many years later, Paul, the writer of Romans, will tell us that through the blood of Jesus, when we believe in him as our Lord and Savior, we are adopted into God's family. And we become sons and daughters when we believe in Jesus. Jesus was adopted first into the family of Joseph. And we are adopted through faith in Jesus. In order for Jesus to be a son of David, he had to be adopted into David's line in a particular way. Very interesting. Mary is from the tribe of Judah. Mary is from the tribe of Judah. Joseph is from the tribe of Benjamin. Bring them together and you get the king. It's really interesting how it works, but I love the way that it works. Because it's beautiful. But what God is doing, I think I got those right. Just the brain always double checks on these things. But what God is doing is he's bringing together something which has been in planning for hundreds of years in one moment. Not one of us is at a place where our lives are so together that we think that we can absolutely work out how we're going to be doing in 20 years' time. Not one of us is in a place where our lives are so together that we're actually going to know what we're going to be doing in 10 years' time. In fact, not one of us is in a place where we know what we are going to be doing tomorrow, because although we've all got our Christmas dinners planned, nobody knows what will happen tonight. God knew 800 years before Mary had that baby that Mary would have that baby, and he told us so. Over 300 prophecies in the Bible, in the Old Testament, of Jesus. 300. Out there we've got our donkeys from last night's kids' carol service, and our donkeys were telling the story, but the fact is that one of those donkeys represents the donkey that Jesus rode into Jerusalem, because Zechariah, 300 years before Jesus rode into Jerusalem on a donkey, said that the king would ride into Jerusalem on a colt, the foal, or a donkey. And Jesus rode into Jerusalem on the colt, the foal, or a donkey. Now, you can say, well, he would have read that and made sure that he did it. It's impossible to do over 300 fulfillments of prophecy, especially if you're being born. You cannot fulfill prophecy on purpose if you're being born, because you're not in a position to know before you're born that you need to be born in Bethlehem of the right mother and father, of the right people, in the right place, under the right star, at the same time as the right king is King Herod, Herod the Great. There was another Herod later on. In the right time space, absolutely on time. Who actually ever gets a baby on time unless the doctors intervene and sets us all up? And even then, that doesn't always do what you want it to do, right? There is no way. We are looking at miracle, and the hope of this, that hope that comes through this Christmas, this Advent Christmas season, is that God still has it under control and he knows what he's doing. And if we have the faith to allow him to be God in our life, he will bring through us what is his best for us. And not only will he do that, but in our lives, if we have him as our king, he has promised to adopt us as his children. And one day, he will take us home. Because the adoptive parent always takes their kid home, don't they? And once we are adopted, which we are the moment we take Jesus on as our Lord and Savior, we have home with him. And it starts there. And the life he gives starts there. And when we work with him, he can do anything in our lives. and miracles become possible because, as the angel said to Mary, everything is possible with God. Amen.